Save big money on your next project with help from Menards. Move water where you need it quickly with a Barracuda sump pump. Sump pumps keep your basement dry when big storms hit unexpectedly. Get a half horsepower cast iron Barracuda sump pump on sale now through May 5th. Hurry into Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Fall is here. Hear the yell. Back to school. Ring the bell. Brand new shoes. Walking blues. Climb the fence. Books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hello, I'm Conan O'Brien. Today's a little unusual. Normally, this is the slot where I talk to someone in the world, a fan, and have a nice chat. And I really do enjoy those conversations. Today's a little different. Today is April 18th, which first of all happens to be my birthday. So far, no gifts.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
This is your gift.
Yeah. I'm very excited because today we are dropping four specials that I did for Max called Conan O'Brien Must Go. And the format relates to this podcast. How it works is I talk to fans, sometimes in the United States and often around the world, who listen to the podcast. And we decided it might be fun, as I'm chatting with these people in different countries, to maybe drop in on them and get involved in their lives and follow up on some of the things they brought up in their podcast interview. And so that's what the show is. Conan O'Brien Must Go is me going to four different countries, Norway, Argentina, Thailand, and Ireland, and surprising fans that talk to me on the podcast, and then getting involved in their lives a little bit, and then moving on and exploring the country.
Interfering in their lives.
Interfering, yeah. So joining me today are some of the people that were instrumental in helping me build this show. Mike Sweeney.
Hello. Nice. Happy birthday. Yeah. I can't believe you forced us together so we could just say happy birthday to you. Very
well,
clever.
Anyway, thanks for your help on the show, and I'm looking forward to my present. Jesse Gaskell.
Hi, Conan.
Thank you for being here. And Matt O'Brien, no relation.
Mm-hmm.
And,
hi.
And then, of course, Jason Chalemi. We call him Chills. These are the people that were sort of the nuclear core of helping me make this show. And now I'll let you all speak freely about what a genius I am. I've written these comments for you, and they're right in front of you. You can read them now.
We'll go in order of height.
Let me say up front, these are people that I've been working with for a number of years on my shows, and they've worked with me before on travel shows. And when I put this project together, I wanted them to join me, and I was very lucky that they did. We are here today to discuss the show, talk about it, and give you a little insight into how this program was made. We go to four countries. The first one we went to was Norway, mm-hmm. and then the second one we went to was Thailand. Then we went to Argentina, and we finally ended up going to Ireland, each time visiting a fan. And I was impressed. We did manage to surprise most of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't know we were coming. And so there was a lot of logistics involved in that, because you can't take a plane ride for 15 hours and go to a foreign country and then find out that someone's gone on vacation or moved. So
they're in LA.
Yeah. Or just don't feel like being on camera.
Yeah. So we had to, Mike, maybe you could explain how we figured out the way to let them know that we might need them as a follow-up
right.
to their podcast interview, but not let them know that I was coming.
Well, Jason was kind of...
Chills.
I apologize. Chills would have to... Each fan was different. So some were like, I'm going to be here. We would just... Chills would reach out to them and say,
we send out
hey.
Feelers, yeah.
Yeah, we send out feelers, make sure they're going to be around. Then it was... We came up with a construct that, oh, you know what? We might be doing kind of a behind the scenes of some of our fans, and we would just send a cameraman there mm-hmm. to shoot you for the
shoot
day.
Some B-roll. Yeah, we loved shoot your we loved your podcast interview with Conan, and we want to shoot some B-roll.
Right.
Yeah. And
we'd leave you out of it.
Right. Now, The problem is, and that worked for the most part, occasionally I would show up in a country and it would show up on their social media that I was around.
Right.
But then, you know, Jason would probably have to put out the word.
Chills.
Sorry, wrong of me. Chills would have to get out the word that, no, Conan's in country, but he refuses to meet with you. Because he's an absolute prick. And that, you know, just to sort of really throw them off the trail.
He's blocks away.
He's right, turn around. He's
hey,
right
I'm looking out my window. he's two alleys from here. Yeah, but he wants to peek in your window, but he won't come in.
He shoots the B-roll himself.
Yeah. People have always asked me, what is it about these travel shows I like so much? I love, there's not much we can control. And I've had many people say to me, well, that must be terrifying. And I find that to be liberating and really fun. We never quite know what the gold is going to be. Mm-hmm. And random things will happen. I'll bump into people on the street, like in Norway, who are just perfect comedy foils. We couldn't ask for better people. Or there's a scene in Norway where I'm on a boat and I'm holding something. I'm sorry, where I'm in Thailand and I'm on a river and I'm holding something that I've been handed, which is quite obscene. And just then a boatload of American family goes by. And I quickly, if you asked the greatest comedy directors in the world to try and manufacture that moment, it wouldn't happen. Because I've looked at that scene, and you guys have looked at these things in editing a lot. The timing is perfect because it's an accident.
Yes.
Yep. Well, you lose your luggage. I mean, that was just something that made everything, you know.
Yeah, I lost my luggage on one of the trips and had to go. And I went across the street and I needed to buy some clothes. And right across the street, there was an absurd shop that only specialized in making traditional costumes, Norwegian costumes that people wore like 200 years ago. And so
no one's ever bought one.
No one.
So they were so delighted.
Couldn't believe someone came into their
shop. Really?
No, and so I bought one, and then I walk out on the street, and the first guy I run into is just so happy to talk to me and tell me what an idiot I am, and not to be mean, but just to be very honest in a very, I'm guessing, Norwegian way.
Yes.
But it was...
Everyone there was very straightforward.
Mm-hmm. Very straightforward.
Like refreshingly matter of fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hamming it up.
And we had a really good time. The fans, to a one, were... great. The fans were.
Yes.
Because one of the things that I've noticed too is there's that second where they're happy, excited to see you. Like, oh, Conan, you're here. That's cool. But then they very quickly are just themselves.
Yeah. Right.
Which I like because then they start giving me shit. They're not afraid to point out when I've made a mistake.
Yep.
Again,
just hanging out.
Yeah, they're just hanging out, and that was.
They were all funny.
They were all funny
and smart.
Yeah,
they were just great.
And I think meeting them on their turf makes them feel a little more comfortable.
Well, often I think almost every time I go into their homes, with one or two exceptions, I surprise them, and then I go right into their homes. And start finding things. And again, it's real and it's in the moment and it was really fun. And but I have to say, you know, we've all, you know, worked, done these remote shoots before. All of us have worked on them for years. One of the nice things now is we're working with Max and they told us, we want this to look really great.
Yeah.
We got this incredible unit. We have these women are spectacular.
Emily
Topper
is our director of photography.
Yeah, and she's fantastic. And Emily Strong's doing sound.
Right.
And
Brenda.
Yes.
Zuniga.
Camera.
Yep. Brenda in when we were in Argentina, at one point I'm on a horse and we needed a shot. And Brenda grabs a camera and jumps onto a horse facing backwards. With the camera.
Completely unfazed.
Completely unfazed and gets the shot. And I thought, who are these three Amazons?
She was unbelievable.
We're kicking ass.
She's like, I've done this before. She goes, I'll just sit backwards and follow the lead horse.
Yeah, I'll just ride the horse backwards
and
shoot you with no hands.
And we're all like, because we're like, do we need a truck, a flatbed? Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, she's on the horse.
Yeah, she's already up
and
there.
Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, I'm over here solving the problem, you idiots.
Yeah, it's a great look. They're I mean, the
The drones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
drones
sometimes we messed around with drones, but we got these really good drone operators mm-hmm. in every country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my thought was a really good travel show should look absolutely gorgeous. And then mm-hmm. all of the other ones teach you about the country. And it's right. very important to me that you learn nothing right. about the country.
That's your guarantee.
It removes knowledge.
Yes. If you had knowledge about the country beforehand and you watch my show, I do think you'll laugh, but you'll have, yeah. it will erase any useful real knowledge yeah. about the country.
I love the drone operators in Norway. It was two guys.
Mm-hmm. And, oh my God, they were great.
And they're like, they just did Succession, and we're like, wow, because a lot of Succession
was shot in Norway. Succession. Yes.
That's what I was getting.
Yeah.
Well, when we came back, just to remind people, the last season of Succession, half the season takes place
right.
When they go and
Skarsgård's character.
Yeah, yes. Skarsgård's character. I meet yeah. with him, and they're in Norway. So they shot there, and they had just worked on that when we right. worked mm-hmm. with them. And these guys... then I was like, oh my God, you just worked on Succession and now you're with Conan O'Brien. Like, how the mighty have fallen. But they were great.
But there's this climactic scene and big scene in Succession in this big yard, this giant
like a party.
Party by a river. And I'm watching it. And then I see the drone guys and we're like, oh my yes! God, it's them. It's
they so made it in.
And they're playing drone guys yes. in the show. Yeah.
Yes. But you know what's great is that they were salivating for us to come up with comedy ideas where they could pull right. off something really amazing.
Right. Yes.
right.
And so that was a joy. There was just a lot. I have to say it can be very tiring. It's a lot of work mm-hmm. to fly so far. And then we usually have to hit the ground running right mm-hmm. away. But the minute we get out there and start talking to people, I mean, we went to Ireland to visit a fan. Just anyone you bump into in Ireland is a professional comedian.
Right.
It's not yes. their profession,
right.
but they could be.
They can.
Yeah.
There's just something in the water.
In the bones, yeah.
Oh, man. Yes. There are some hilarious people you spoke to in Ireland. The other cool thing in Ireland was you're walking down the street and people were just like stunned it was you. And then they took their earbuds out and said, mm-hmm. I'm listening to your podcast
yes.
right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, I ran into people in Ireland who were listening to the podcast yeah. as I ran into them. And then this made me really happy. We were shooting something on the River Liffey, which is the river that bisects Dublin. It means cuts it in two, Matt. And but anyway,
can we take that out?
Can you actually make it play
it.
Twice? Yeah, loop it. So anyway,
with reverb.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm standing there by the River Liffey, and this cab drives by, and someone rolls down the window and goes, "There was talk of gerbils." one of the catchphrases from the podcast, and I was so happy that my people left this country. I go back to the actual plot of land that my people had, that my great-grandfather had. We left in 1871 because, you know, we couldn't make it there anymore and went to the United States. And all these years later, I've come back and my legacy
yes.
is that this obscene story about Mickey Rooney talking about Richard Gere having gerbils in his ass.
It lives on.
The O'Briens come back. There's talk of gerbils, I tell you.
Believe it or not, that came full circle.
Yeah, it really did.
I can't go into details.
It was fantastic. And the other thing that I think was an elevation, I think people will like these, but because we got to up the ante a little bit with these, have this nice budget, we could do these set pieces with real costumes and yeah. go to real locations. So there's a lot of improvisation and me walking around in my regular street clothes being me. But then there are these set pieces that we really wanted them to look like this could be from a movie.
Cinematic. Yeah.
It's very mm-hmm. cinematic. And of course, because we have Topper and her team, they were able to pull off the look and we had costumes. I mean, Chills, you were a part of that, getting me... making sure that we had everything we needed
yeah.
in the country.
Right, fake mustache.
Yeah,
fake mustache.
I mean, I carry some with me, but the TSA is
a
always...
A pipe for every occasion.
Yeah. The TSA is always really suspicious when a guy comes through with 35 mustaches. None of your business. Let me through.
Ireland, we had a lot of facial hair. A lot of hair.
A lot of...
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. We were smuggling it. Yeah.
There was a lot of fake facial hair we shipped in and costumes. Yeah. And what's really fun is... Scott Cronick, who gets the wardrobe together, always comes to my house like 2 days before right. I leave for the country, wherever it is. And he'll come in with all this insane stuff.
Yeah.
Options where I'm a Viking or a lighthouse keeper or I'm a, you know...
I'm a soccer goalie.
I'm a gaucho. And, you know, all these insane looks. And I'm a leprechaun and whatever. He's bringing all this stuff in and dressing me up in them. And invariably... my wife will walk in, not knowing that this was going on. And I'm standing there and she's just like, oh, Jesus.
Turns right like, around.
Role play.
This is what I married. Yeah, exactly. Every woman dreams of a sexy lighthouse keeper.
What a tower.
No, but just getting to recreate some of those do those cinematic moments, which we haven't really had a chance to do fully before.
Yeah, you
it was
get to
so
do
much
some
fun.
Acting.
Well, I don't know if that's what it's called.
Different forms of shouting.
Yeah,
I remember the Viking makeup woman. It's like a 2-hour drive to this Viking reenactment.
Oh my God!
Center,
yeah.
And so I'm just thinking, like, well, you know, she can maybe start stuff on the bus or. Yeah. And she's like, no, we need to be in a separate room.
Lights.
I need all this space.
She was a real professional. She was like, get away from me. Yeah. I'll make it happen.
Also,
let me do my job.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. It's the difference between all those years when we would do remotes and run and gun quickly. And it was, the mustache would be in my back pocket. And I'd be in a... and I'd be in a van, and then I'd like slap it on and get out there, and you know, makeup was done very quickly, if at all. And so this was different because we went into these travel shows sometimes with that attitude of we can just slap it on the bus, and these look good for a reason because they're saying no. This is you asked for something good, you're going to get something good. Sit down and shut up.
Yep. And it's, you know what? It's going to take 50 minutes to an hour to do it. But then when you got out of that chair, it was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So worth it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I know. That was a big swing that whole day because we had really insisted. We always worry when we've insisted on driving for 2 hours to get somewhere.
To make it worthwhile.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always
the pressure. Every mile, there's a pressure odometer. Oh, the pressure's going up.
There's always the fear.
It's also freezing cold. And,
it's the same adage of, the longer the story, the more pressure on the punchline.
Yeah. Right.
And if someone's telling a really long story, or sometimes one can get caught and you realize, this story I'm telling is really going on. God damn it, this punchline better. And that's exactly how it works when you're shooting a remote. If you have to drive for 3 hours, it basically is how much... in Europe, how much petrol did you burn? Yeah. How much gas did you burn to get here? Mm-hmm. What was your carbon footprint getting to this place? And then it better really be funny.
Right.
And so
especially
sometimes we have lost that bet.
Yes.
Sometimes we've won.
Ooh, but especially sometimes you roll out of your hotel with a crew and you're getting all this great stuff on the street. And then it's like, all of a sudden you're in a van for 2 hours. It's like, wait a minute, why are we doing this again?
Your muscles are cooling. And,
right.
Well, one of the things I'm proud of is the team that we assembled. People have done such a good job. I mean, you know, unsung heroes like, and I know this, and people say, you know, oh, we're listening to you guys right now. You don't need to give a speech about everybody, but there are people like Matt Shaw who did such an incredible job. So many people have worked really hard. The graphics look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Matt Shaw was our head editor. And basically he had one other editor working with him, which is, I think, is very unusual for something of this scale.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Brad Roland.
And then
incredible.
I was thrilled about the
mystery narrator we got for the show, we have a gentleman's agreement not to discuss. Yeah. But most people that work with me don't want it mentioned.
Right. He was insistent on that.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll do I love it.
I've drawn up a contract.
Yeah. Maybe it's AI. Who can say?
Or no one knows.
I'm very happy, and I just basically. I always loved those travel shows that we did in the past, and it felt like we had unfinished business there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when we had the notion that, well, what I'm really passionate about now is this podcast. I absolutely adore doing it. It's really fun, and it feels like the natural evolution of what I was doing before, or de-evolution, whatever you want. But the idea that We married the two, meaning it really starts from the podcast and then takes off into this world that I've explored before. But now there's a reason to go in country. I'm showing up and I'm visiting a pen pal.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know, the whole thing has been really fun to make.
Well, and there's often a mission there too, because people have been sharing things about their lives with you on the podcast. And then you show up and it's like, oh, I'm gonna help you achieve this goal or fix this problem for you.
Yeah.
And then you maybe don't. Yeah.
Right. Or just waste time with you.
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident, so are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
Do you remember that dinner we had where you could choose from a prefix menu and it was like
all...
the appetizer was cod and then the entree
was
all
cod. Different preparations.
Cod tongue.
They have a lot of, there's a lot of cod.
A lot of cod.
In Norway. They're very, very proud of it. And you specifically have to ask them not to put cod on your ice cream cone.
You have a cod allergy.
Allergy.
Yeah. Right. Is this an allergy? Okay. So what kind of cod can we use? No cod.
We have hypoallergenic cod.
Yeah.
I have to say, Argentina, the man, something happened in Argentina. I don't want to give away too much, but we visited our fan, who's a terrific artist, and one thing led to another. And it led to kind of a happening, which since then has gotten some traction online. Yeah. And that's one of the aspects of the show that I really enjoy is these little Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We don't even intend them always, but in Ireland and in Argentina, we helped make something happen that ended up later on getting noticed by people who didn't know anything about the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's online and people are saying, why does this exist?
Yes.
And anyway, there's that's I just love the idea of traveling the globe and confusing people.
people who are really...
But you know, I did. This is a true story because the thing we did in Argentina, which the artist helped us create, we left behind.
Right.
And then... I think it got picked up and then it landed on some very prominent soccer blog.
Yes.
And it got a lot of traction and it started to pop up everywhere online and people were sending it to me saying, what's going on? What's going on? And I just
did you approve this?
And I was kind of playing.
We were in Ireland. Like it was while we were in Ireland.
We were in Ireland when it was blowing up in Argentina. And so
with my friends. I was just saying, well, I guess you never know. I just was, I was playing it. So then I get a call and it's Jake Tapper.
Oh.
who I know. It's Jake Tapper, but he's, and I'm thinking, oh, he's, you know, I know Jake Tapper and he calls me sometimes and we both love Eisenhower trivia and shit like that. He's calling me and I go, what's up? And he goes like, this thing in Argentina, what's going on? And so like any of my friends, I just played it off as, well, I guess you never quite know. And he went, no, cut it out. Really? What is it? And I forgot. Oh, I'm talking to a journalist. And he was like, what is it? And I went, okay. And I explained and he went, got it. And then hung up.
It's like you're Banksy.
Yeah. I'm the Banksy of comedy.
That's right.
Only it's not worth anything. But.
And we had something made in Ireland that
I just saw turn up this week
in social media.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And there's a sequence in Thailand that I really love where I'm roaming the streets at night. That was a very cinematic sequence where I've ingested some street food and then I have a fever dream. And
fugue state.
And that I'm not giving anything away because you need to see that. It's quite strange. It feels like a weird,
it's gorgeous
foreign film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that one, my favorite part of that shoot was that we were going against Jeff's wishes because he wanted us to get back.
Oh, Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Yes.
We had a dinner reservation. He's like, you'll be out there for like 5 hours.
Yeah, there was this one thing we wanted to get. And he was like, we have a dinner reservation. I'm like, Jeff, we'll go and grab it, and then we'll go to dinner. The dinner reservation's at 6:30. It took a long time to get.
And Matt's very calm. He's like, we'll be done in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll set my watch.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that before. Anyway, he was disappointed when we walked into the restaurant on time. You could see him deflate.
Yeah. Oh, yes. The restaurant hadn't opened yet.
Yeah.
We're
not open for 4 hours. She was like, it's nice to sit here. It's a nice place. They have air conditioning. It was, I think we were,
I helped them set up.
We were shooting, sadly, with global warming. This record will probably be broken soon, but it was like the hottest it had ever been in Thailand.
108.
Yeah. And we were shooting and we were out on the street and there's a part where I'm kickboxing and we're not inside in an air-conditioned gym. We're in an outdoor facility with no air conditioning. Mm-hmm. I'm no spring chicken, and it's my birthday today. So let me tell you, I'm only getting older. And I am throwing kicks, punches. Mm-hmm. I'm going as hard as I can. And at one point, I stopped and I asked Jeff Ross, do we have a defibrillator? And he was like, what do you mean? What do we need a defibrillator for? I'm getting a restaurant reservation. And I'm like, because I could go down.
I'll make sure the restaurant has one.
I was sweating so much during that segment.
I'll make it a smaller reservation.
And Oh, that works.
Let me know.
They don't have a table. They don't have a table for five, but they have a table for four. That works out great. You guys happily eating? Well, I'm in the morgue.
More family style for each of us.
Yeah. He's gone. We might as well enjoy.
We got enough of the boxing, right? To at least.
Okay. Oh, my God. We'll funniest thing is when, because writers always want, can you do something again? They always want it again. Can you give it another shot? What if we do it from another angle? Because
I mean professionals.
Sure. Yeah, right. Professionals. Obsessive compulsive professionals. But if you're doing something, it's always cracked me up when I'm doing something, especially at my vintage, and I'm just wailing and kicking and punching, and it's 108 degrees, and I'm jet lagged, and and people are like, ha, that's great. Okay, let's do another one. Where we put more
good rehearsal.
We put more lead on your boots.
There are a few times too where it's like no one's yelling cut.
And
it's just kind of, you know.
He's just going through a training session.
And you finally just go, okay, I think we got it.
Yeah. That was
we put you through the physical ringer in Thailand.
Thailand was
a workout, but I have to say, I do come home from all these countries, well, specifically Thailand, because in some of the setups, I'm getting, I'll go to someone who makes great, original Thai costumes, and they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them on and they're in the show And then they come home with me and they're mine.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And then I'm thinking, I'll sometimes look in my closet and I have like two pairs of chinos, two pairs of jeans, some t-shirts, some of the nicest ties.
Silk suits.
Silk suits. And I don't know where can I wear these?
Yeah.
I don't know where to wear them.
Dress like a Viking today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. I remember you bought those knit pajamas in Norway. It was like a full body.
Oh, I've worn those.
Have you worn those?
It got, because it does get cold in LA and I put them on once and I came downstairs and.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I just look like a giant,
like a full onesie.
Like
yeah.
a giant stuffed animal. But it was, boy, those.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're hand knit.
Were hand knit, and they're the warmest, most comfortable things I've worn in my life.
That's amazing.
But you know what? Those sock monkeys. You know those?
Yeah.
Sock monkey when I put them on with a red pompadour.
That's so funny.
Not even because there's actually a cap you can put on too that just isolates your face. I should just wear that and walk around LA until someone photographs me.
They'll think that you're.
I'd lost my mind.
Kanye, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, exactly. I should wear that and then go up when Kanye's next out with what's his lady?
Right. What's her name? Yeah.
She dresses in a very provocative manner.
Yes.
Anyway,
the
next time those two are out together and she's, you know, wearing something with no butt on it and he's just wearing an REI tent, I'm going to run up alongside. I'm going to photobomb them dressed as a giant sock monkey and put my arm around both of them and see if I can get that photo out there.
Kanye is taking a second breath.
Oh, that'd be a great promo for this show.
Yes,
got to get the word out. We need stunts, publicity stunts. Conan, what are you going to do?
Oh, I've got this knit thing I can wear and I'll find Kanye.
You already have all of Kanye's fans in your pocket.
You're right. Talk about redundancy. Yeah, total overlap. You like Kanye? You'll love this show.
Do you get to enjoy yourself on these trips? Because
it
is work.
Hey, thanks for finally, someone asked me a question, which makes my job a lot easier.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I wanted to give you a chance to talk.
It was my gift.
Yes, here you go. No, but seriously, because it is, you know, we like you said before, we hit the ground running and then it's nonstop till boom, we're back to the airport. So
if I think that what we're making is funny, I am like a kid at Christmas.
Right.
And I'm very happy. And I really do love the camaraderie. I have to say, Jeff Ross is not wrong. When we have worked hard all day and I think we have good stuff in the can and then we go out to dinner, I love that. I love that feeling of, I think we've found something today. And I'm happy with
debrief.
It. And now we can debrief and we can sit and we're in this exotic country.
We're eating Italian food.
Yeah, no matter where we are. Remember, we went to Armenia once for a travel show. For a travel show years ago, and Armenian food's really good, but there's a lot of like it's a lot of chicken. It's very good, but we kept
stuffed
going
grape leaves,
pork chops.
Things like that. And so we kept having that over and over and over again, and it was really good. But then I remember there was one night where I was like, "Well, we got to break this up." And we found out there was like a small mall in Yerevan and an Italian restaurant.
There was basically the Grove.
Yeah, and we went to the Grove in Yerevan.
The one in Glendale.
Yeah, and then ordered pizzas and we were just like, oh, this, we're being the ugly American. But for the most part, when we're in country, I have to say, we shot something in Dublin where I go looking for Bono. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you that. It's called Searching for Bono. And I go looking for him in a park and it's a... I don't think I'm giving away too much, but it's basically a wildlife section of the documentary. And we had so much fun shooting that. I was giggling the whole time. And then everyone had great ideas. And Jesse, you were an impetus behind
this.
That's right. Jesse Gaskell. And then we all started thinking of different. And I just kept thinking of fun ways to make it sillier and stupider. I was just in heaven the whole time we were doing that. And so to answer your question, I have a lot of fun doing these. There are times when I get run down or there are times where we're someplace and I think we're not getting it. This isn't it. This is going to show up on the edit room floor. And those can be dispiriting and long van rides can be dispiriting. I think I have a hard time in a van because I'm very kinetic.
Right.
And when someone says, okay, that was great. Now, get into this very small space and sit in the back
and don't sit in traffic.
And sit in traffic.
In the dark.
And we'll poke you in 4 hours and you need to be hit the ground running. I have a hard time with that. Mm-hmm. I think you have.
Matt has some great photos.
Matt has photos of me having a nervous.
You just losing your mind.
I lost my mind in the back and I'm doing crazy bits, faces. I'm just basically having a complete psychological meltdown.
The courts are going to want those from me someday.
Yes, that's fine. You can,
and it's in this
or,
eerie.
No, the New England Journal of Medicine wants them. but we had such a good time for the most part on these that those I find those moments just drift away. I completely forget those moments, and what I remember is the fun, and I remember the fun of everywhere we go. I mean, the people were in each country were uniformly just so much. Such a great sense of, they seem to be happy with what we were doing.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing.
And they seem to like that, I don't know, the joke is usually on me and they're cool with that.
Right.
And they seem to it's fun to just go and explore the comedic rhythm in each country. And it's different in each country, but they're all funny in their own way.
Right.
And they're not afraid to give me a hard time, which I love.
It's amazing that you can go outside of Los Angeles and there's just hilarious people everywhere. I mean, working at more.
Guess what? Yeah. They're not in LA.
That's why you go on these trips.
There are other places and they have normal jobs. And they're just, you know, happy to meet somebody, meet a stranger and have a nice interaction. Or maybe they know you from TV and...
They're very...
They're kind of unfazed by the camera.
I know.
Yeah, they're very unfazed by the camera and they're just so happy to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they all seem to pick up right away on, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. Something's wrong with this man.
The butt of the joke.
Yeah, there's something's wrong with this man, but he seems harmless. And
it is amazing how everyone.
I think I could take him.
Yeah. And that was an old lady. It was an old lady in a wheelchair. I could take him.
Will me over to him.
Yeah. It was really fun to make, and it's an interesting process because we go and we shoot them, then we come back, you guys do these rough assemblies, you know, Matt Shaw does like these rough assemblies, and then you guys go in, and it's, I've always said the way we approach these, whether it was a remote for the old late night show or the TBS show or travel shows, it's like a chef doing a sauce, cook it down, get the reduction, add some more broth, cook it down, cook it down, cook it down, cook it down. We just keep cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting and having different screenings and reducing it. And then you get to this final part and you look at it and
it's all flavor. It's
yeah. Ooh, it's burned at the bottom. Yeah.
Well, I didn't say it was a good sauce. All I meant was that it was short. Yeah. In my analogy, it's just that they're shorter.
Thick. It's broth. Shorter, it's still broth.
Dense. Yeah.
Still dense, very salty. Your doctor recommends you don't have it. It ruins the taste of the food you're eating.
It is fun to see the number of hours you start with of footage.
I know.
And then know that you're cutting it down to under an hour.
And then even when you think you can't cut anymore, there's still some you can cut.
Sure. Yes.
And it was even in the finishing room when we would watch the final finished cut. It was like we all had one little second here, you know. But I think that
that's
normal.
Showing a clip. Yeah. I went to South by Southwest.
Uh-huh.
I went to South by Southwest and I showed a clip from a segment in Ireland in the gas station that was got this big laugh in this giant room and I was very happy. And then I just saw it. The clip went on for a couple of seconds afterwards and the crowd was like, okay. And I'm up on stage. I'm up on stage thinking, why is that still in there? And it's like, no one was thinking about it.
It
was a second for someone to just take an inhale, but I was like, why is that there?
It's a palate cleanser for the home viewer before they jump into the next segment.
We want people to be laughing continuously with no pause.
So you know what I love? The show over themselves laughing.
Exactly.
You know what I love too? Anyone listening to this who checks them out and goes, this is nothing but fat. These guys are like, these people are like patting themselves on the back. We reduced and reduced and reduced till, and then they're watching it and it's just.
What, was the stove on?
This should be 4 minutes.
There was no heat. Oh, yes. Leave it on another 10 hours. Just.
Because there are comedic.
They shut the gas off. Oh, no.
There are bits where the joke is that I'm. There are bits where the joke, wherever country I'm in, is that I just keep going and I refuse to stop.
Yeah.
And I could see anyone listening to this or any reviewer saying, what are they talking about?
I saw some trims.
That idiot. Anyway, it was.
Well, I was. I mean, I think people might want to know how we landed on the countries that we went to.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's interesting. It's like you're looking for. It's like these two circles, and you're trying to see where's the best place where they intersect. Meaning, talk to people around the world, and some people seem like, oh, I got to talk to this person. Like, for example, Jarle in Bergen, Norway, who just he's this sweet kid to me. Anyway, he's a kid. He's like 22 years old, and he's telling me, and he's the whitest kid I've ever seen, and he's telling me he's got a hip-hop duo with his friend in Bergen, Norway. And so there's part of me that's naturally curious, and then it's, you know, if he had been in Trenton, New Jersey, I would have said, okay, I don't think that's a show, but he's in Norway, and I think, yeah, Norway. Mm-hmm. I want to go there. So basically, if it's, is the fan interesting and seem fun? And am I intrigued? And is it a country I'd like to go see?
Yeah.
And so if you can satisfy both of those, then I'm on my way.
Mm-hmm.
But and we've had some other fans, too, that we just, you know, they asked for four specials. So we did four. But there are other fans around the world who've got some very intriguing stories. So, you know,
well, and there's a lot of other criteria. I mean, just in terms of. What is it like to get film permits there? And can you quickly, you know, can you quickly film things?
Yeah, there are exactly. There are countries where it's more difficult to get permission. Also, another thing, we've just learned things over time, but sometimes we're more ambitious about traveling within a country. And then you realize you do want to do that. But if it's a vast country, and let's say you went to Australia and you wanted to make sure that you did Sydney and Perth, but you also wanted to go up to the Barrier Reef and you also wanted to get into the outback, you realize that breaking down camera equipment and shipping it around, you're burning time.
Yeah.
And so you want to make sure that you make the right calculations. So yes, get on a plane and travel within country or get on a train if you really think you're going to get something good. But if you're zipping around too much within a country, you just lose days.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you really, it's a cost.
It's just figuring these things out. And I one of the things that is fun, it's fun and interesting, is we sit around, and Jason's a big part of this, but we'll sit with, and you know, we'll talk to Chills and we'll say, this is what we're interested in. And then we have these conversations where we have a map of the country and we have lists of comedy ideas we could do. And
itineraries.
Literally like a yarn going from one pin to another. And we're like, okay, so we'd have to go, you know, 210 miles to get this gag. How much do we love it?
Right.
And then we all get into it. And then sometimes we say, you know what? It's not that funny. It's not 210 miles funny. And sometimes you think, I think it is 210 miles and, funny.
And you are onto me. You know I lie. I always am like, I think it's a 50-minute drive.
And you're just like,
fuck
drive.
You.
Yeah, that's my commute home.
You know, yeah, right.
It's my commute back to Brentwood, asshole.
Oh, 2 hours and 50 minutes.
But I love, it's the making of these things. I like to make things. I like to make things with smart, funny people. And I've enjoyed working with you guys as well.
Yes. Happy birthday indeed. Happy birthday indeed.
And he wonders why he got no gifts. We have a great crew. Chills, we've been doing this together. Chills has been with me on every adventure going back to Finland.
Right.
And Mike.
And Mike, you've been with me since the beginning. Before that, because
You
the first
and I went
one
to
was really Ireland a million
1998
years.
Yeah. Or 99.
I was there for that too.
And yes, you were there for that.
Chills went on that too.
So
that
we
was 2
have,
days. We were in there for 2 days.
We shot everything in 2
we
days.
We have a good crew here and we get a lot of help in each country.
And that's important too.
Y'all and Jennifer and Maritza and Marcella. Like we get all their teams.
Amazing.
It's phenomenal.
That is worth mentioning is
Keith
that
and Bernie.
We need to, when we go to another country, we can only do so much. And then we have to find what's called fixers, people in country who say, you don't want to go here, but you do want to go there.
Yeah.
People say that that's funny,
that's
but it's really.
That's going to offend people.
That's right. Right. Don't do that. That's actually against the law. You can't urinate in that rare book library. Conan Pease in a rare book library, I thought was a natural. So,
but you can't do anything on this list.
We hit one in every country.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. But it's, those people are invaluable. Yeah. And what's funny is we meet them, we always meet them at the airport or right when we get to the hotel. Yeah. And then there's this second of how are we all going to get along? And then very quickly, you can see that they take our temperature, we take their temperature. Yeah. And then, we're off.
Yeah.
And we get really close to these people.
Yeah.
And we owe them a lot. I mean, they're a huge part of how these shows work.
Well, Chills picks on, and you get it. You like, you'll say,
you do a vibe check.
I talked to three people. I think it's, I think this is the one.
And yeah.
Unerring.
And then you make best friends. I mean, you stay in touch with people.
Well, he also has affairs with them.
All of them.
Chills has children in every country.
Whatever it takes.
I know why he picks these picks. I like this one. She didn't seem that great. Oh, shut up!
She's never worked in show business.
And they're
she
all
doesn't
women.
Speak English. Anyway, it was, I enjoy the doing of it. And then it's just extra sweet that, We get these shows out of it, and I'm excited for people to see them. And
Me too.
And we have shown them to a bunch of people we really trust who like them, who have full permission to tell us this is shit, and have in the past told me I'm shit. Right. But I have a good feeling about it.
I laughed so hard during editing that I went into labor.
That's true.
That's right.
It's true.
And, and you weren't even pregnant. That's the crazy part. A baby came out. You made a baby.
Terrifying.
You laughed so hard.
That was my favorite behind-the-scenes story.
Yeah, behind-the-scenes story is...
We're all hanging out in the conference room one night.
Yeah. During the making of these shows,
I got pregnant.
Which I think involves sex. And then...
Chills.
And then...
We'll explain it to you later.
Yeah. And then... so that was part of... It's crazy that was part of this process It was happening alongside as we were making the shows because the shows were delayed by the writer's strike.
Right.
So... Otherwise, we would have made these a lot sooner, but...
And you would have never even known I was pregnant.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what was really crazy is at one point we're in editing and you're...
I was 37 weeks pregnant.
Yeah. And you were laughing really hard in the edit and we were joking that this laughing...
Oh, I was laughing. I was would induce, peeing my pants laughing.
Would induce a pregnancy as a joke. And then... We all get a photograph in the morning. 7 a.m. in the morning of you holding
a
Dottie.
Baby,
not your baby, another baby. No, of you holding Dottie. And it was like the joke the night before.
No, I know. I was like, they're not going to believe that this is real.
I thought it was a prop baby.
Yeah.
Well, I really was like, I'm peeing my pants laughing. And actually, my water had broken.
Right.
At work while we were there.
Oh, wow.
But you've been using that excuse for years.
I
just
away.
Wet myself because of a baby.
Water. Yeah.
And then she disappeared for 2 months.
Yeah. No, that was...
That made me so happy.
Well, Dottie's the... We got 4 shows and a baby.
Yeah.
Out of we got 4 specials and Dottie out of this,
Well,
we actually
got another baby from... A fan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the show too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look for that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Conan O'Brien must go. We like them.
We cooked them down.
Yeah. They're coming out, dropping right now on Max.
Go watch now.
Plus, This is something cool. The good people at Samsung TV Plus, they air a Conan O'Brien show, basically, Conan O'Brien TV channel, and they put together our best stuff.
Yeah.
They've put together a bunch of glorious moments from my career. And in there, they've also put an exclusive 10-minute sneak peek of the new Conan O'Brien Must Go series, and it's for free. So you can see that if you check out Conan O'Brien TV channel exclusively on Samsung TV Plus. So we'll see you there.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Conan O'Brien, Sonam Avsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.